Welcome to the Mana Pool, the Geek.io Dungeons and Dragons 5th Edition Live Play Podcast.
Hello and welcome back to the Mana Pool, the Dungeons and Dragons Live Play 5th Edition Podcast, brought to you, of course, by the Geek.io Show. I am your host, Dungeon Master, and Lion Boy, CJ Bub. Joining me, as always, is Raul.
Playing Amon, the Tiefling Warlock.
Rachel.
Playing Peruran, the Tabaxi Samurai Kitty Cat.
Carrie.
I'm playing Kyriath, the Eladrin, question mark, druid.
Josh.
The man behind the machine, number 473. Harder, better, faster, and stronger.
And Felix.
Felix playing Rowan, the fishy rogue.
So, last time some shit went down, y'all.
Yeah, we'd be lying if we refused that statement.
Oh, God, here it goes.
You're really proud of that one, aren't you?
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Really, guys, do you have to keep dragging us down like that?
I'm touched by your concern.
Okay, really,
there's
let's
no
leave
need to
this
be so
alone.
Catty.
Is this what hell is? Just constant puns?
Okay, are we just going to leave this alone right now?
I mean, we could branch out to other topics.
But then we never get to the true root of the problems.
Okay, guys, we're getting a little greedy.
This would be explosive.
I mean, it'd be a sin to drag this out any longer.
Jesus Christ. Stop fishing for these puns, okay?
It's easy for you to flop around like that, Felix.
Jeez.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, especially when I'm around. Puns are just a sure thing.
It's in his programming.
You notice how Raul's not saying a goddamn thing on this one.
See, because Raul would swing and it would just miss.
Sadaro was bad guy the entire time. And out of a bolt from the blue, a lion man came out and saved all y'all. Well, made him turn into a dargon. He was a dragon.
Unfortunately for us, he wasn't a weak little lion man.
Yeah, true.
And some stuff happened. We'll get more into what happened, like, in the storyline in the next episode. Because this episode is a level-up episode.
I was waiting for you to hit something on the soundboard.
Hold on. I got a thing. Hold on. I might have a thing. Close enough.
it'll work. It'll work.
Everybody hit level 5 because they killed a dragon.
And
it didn't die. Because got lucky with the root and
Then we pummeled the shit out of it. Well, everybody except me. I just threw a sword at a dude.
throw a sword at your comrade.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah, you would think you'd be a little more possessive of those.
Yeah, really? Come on.
Oh, man. We're going to kind of go over this level, what level 5 means. It's not a huge level for most of the team. The one thing that happens for everybody is your proficiency bonus now goes up to level 3.
Woohoo!
What that means is pretty much all of your spell saves go up one. Everything that has to do with your proficiency bonus, including your spells that you
attack
are
attack skills.
Everything essentially goes up one point. So anything that you're proficient in goes up one point. So congratulations. Your attacks are going to be better. Your skills are going to be better. Your spells are going to be better. Your damage doesn't go up, really, unless you have something that goes with proficiency, but most of them don't. Congratulations.
The spellcasters go up to level 3, get level 3 spells. We'll get to them here last because there's some long drawn out things and they're also working on their character sheets as we speak. So the easiest one is really Rowan. Basically at level 5, congratulations. What do you get, Rowan, aside from your hit points?
Uncanny dodge.
What does uncanny dodge do?
Hold on. I got my book. I swear. I had it open.
You know, if Pick were here, he wouldn't be having this problem.
It's true. It's true. I'm a failure at everything I do. That's what my mother tells me all the day.
Maybe there was a thing in Roll 20 that you could just click on. Maybe hey, you have an eye for it.
Hey, and I got a book. I'm going to use it, okay?
I mean, that's fair, to be honest. I mean, I have all of these and I still go for my books because it's like, man, I love the way that those books feel.
So, Josh, where is Pick at the moment?
You know, he's doing a little soul searching.
You know, while we're discussing this, last weekend, as of time of recording this, Wizards did their Stream of Annihilation where they announced a whole bunch of new stuff coming out. Including, it's like Alejandro's Guide to Everything. So basically, like Volo's Guide to Monsters gave a whole bunch of new races. Xanadar's Guide to Everything. The Guide to Everything gives a lot more class options to every single class and much more. It's going to come out in November. What they've also announced was the Tomb of Annihilation book. It's the follow up. It's the prequel to the Tomb of Horrors.
Ooh.
Dun,
including the rise to power of the Lich.
Hey then.
Does one of us get to play the Lich? I'm totally down for it.
Yeah, me.
I'll be the Lich. Oh, damn. Anyway, uncanny dodge. Oh. When an attacker that you can see hits you with an attack, you can use your reaction to halve the attack's damage against him.
So basically, every.
Whoa!
Whoa! Oh.
Rachel just exploded! All right. Rachel just literally.
Is everyone okay? Is everyone.
What? I can't hear you!
Do we need to call 991?
991. Yes.
You're better. You're not exploding like you were before.
Okay.
All right.
So essentially, once per turn, you can take half damage from an attack.
Yeah.
Because you only get one reaction per turn, but you don't get double attack or anything like that. You just get uncanny dodge. Congratulations.
Does his sneak attack dice not even approve?
I don't believe it does.
It might actually.
I'm still getting static.
Yeah, it's not as bad, though. Fifth level, yeah, 3d6 sneak attack.
There we go. See you.
So, good job.
God, it's like I played a great rogue at one point in time.
Yeah, you become a nimble dog.
A slippery fish?
Yes. A
slippery fish.
yeah, congratulations. Next thing up is you can also take... For your hit points, you can either give me a roll for your hit points or take the midpoint plus one plus your con mod on both of those.
I just went
to shaking. What was that?
I went for the straight roll and I think I got a five.
So basically what you would have gotten regardless.
Yeah, what I would have gotten regardless.
Basically. So yeah, you've gained, I see now where you did. You get 7 hit points. Congratulations.
Woo.
So moving on, is Rachel exploding still?
No, I shouldn't be.
Okay. Nope, Rachel, what did you get at fifth level?
I get the double attack.
What does double attack do?
I 1 second. I'm pulling my screen back up. I'm multitasking. Where'd it go? I has it.
It's extra attack, technically, by the way.
It's what?
Extra attack.
Yes. It is extra attack, which means that instead of attacking just once, I smack things hard twice.
Yep. Cool thing is with hers is because it's every time you use an attack action.
My action search would give me 4 attacks right now.
Yeah. You can go once per battle, go apeshit crazy, and just murder things. Really good.
And I finally got off my rear end and added in the fact that I've got goading and sweeping attack into my repertoire as well from my last level for my martial adepts.
And Rachel, which did you take on your hit points?
I took my, what is it, base plus?
Base plus one.
My 6 plus 1. No, my 6 plus 2 because I've got 2 for.
So she gained 8 hit points.
Because I figured it was better than, you know, rolling a 3 with my luck.
Yep. And that's all she gets at level 5.
Yay, I'm complex.
Josh, what did you get at level 5?
Level 5 is not a terribly uneventful level for the monk. Because in addition to, you know, everyone's proficiency bonus, including their unarmed damage dice, increases to 1d6.
Yeah.
So I can punch things a little bit harder now. The monk also gets extra attack at level 5. Yep. So he can attack twice per attack action, which means that using Flurry of Blows, I can also attack up to 4 times in a turn.
Correct.
And in addition to that, I also have access to Stunning Strike now.
What does Stunning Strike do?
Well, when I make an attack action, I believe it requires hitting. Because that would make sense.
Yeah.
Starting at 5th level, you can interfere with the flow of ki in your opponent's body. When you hit another creature with a melee weapon attack, you can spend 1 ki point to attempt a Stunning Strike. The target must succeed on a Constitution savings throw or be stunned until the end of your next turn.
Boom. Lock him down. So leading me, and what did you take for your hit point increase?
I went ahead and took the gamble of rolling at this level against better judgment, and thankfully almost maxed out with a 7, so I got 9 hit points.
All right, there you go. And I have a feeling Raul's still fully working on his, and we just discovered a whole thing about his character. So curious, what did you do for this level?
What do you get? So I I got my 3rd level spells. I fixed a mistake I made on my spell list the last time we leveled up. So I now have Call Lightning and Barkskin in my repertoire. And for my...
what does Call Lightning and Barkskin do?
Barkskin allows me to touch a willing creature. Until the spell ends, the target's skin has a rough, bark-like appearance, and the target's AC cannot be less than 16, no matter what kind of armor it is wearing.
Boom.
So, useful against Thoderow.
Yes. and what does Call Lightning do?
Call Lightning. A storm cloud appears in the shape of a cylinder that is 10 feet tall with a 60-foot radius centered on a point that I can see directly 100 feet above me. The spell fails if you can't see a point in the air where the storm cloud could appear, for example, if you are in a room that can't accommodate the cloud. When you cast the spell, choose a point you can see within range. A bolt of lightning flashes down from the cloud to that point. Each creature within 5 feet of that point must make a dex saving throw. A creature takes 3d10 lightning damage on a failed save, or half as much damage on a successful one. Until each one of my turns until the spell ends, I can use an action to call down lightning in this way again, targeting the same point or a different one. Now, if I'm outside in stormy conditions, I can instead control the existing storm, which gives me an additional 1d10 damage when I do so.
Nice.
That's right, CJ. You're going to have to start paying attention to weather patterns.
I mean, that's fine, I guess. I'll start making up forecasts as we go. That's fine. Sorry. You don't have anything that happens at your wild shapes at this level, so.
Yeah, and I get my druid circle feature next level.
Yep. What'd you do for your hit points?
Midpoint plus my con mod, so I ended up getting 6 hit points.
Fair enough. And about Raul's character.
We're going to have to do some reworking with this character.
Yeah, Raul's character we discovered was been being pretty much played all wrong since he took the Hexblade. Hexblade, for those who don't read the Unearthed Arcana or are like, oh, if it's not published, it's not canon or usable, is basically a super highly melee warlock. And including the, it dictates the spells that he can use pretty significantly. So let's go with warlock at fifth level. What did you get at fifth level for warlock, Raul?
Fifth level, I got blink.
Which does?
Blink. I roll a d20 at the end of each of your turn for the duration of the spell. On a roll 11 or high, I vanish from the current plane of existence and appear in the ethereal plane. The spell fails, and you cast. The spell fails, and the casting is wasted if you were already on that plane. At the start of your next turn, and when the spell ends, if you are on the ethereal plane, you return to an unoccupied space of your choice that you can see within 10 feet of the space you vanished from. If no unoccupied space is available within range, you appear in the nearest unoccupied space. Choose a random if more than one space is equal or near to you. When on the ethereal plane, you can see and hear the plane you originate from, which is cast in shades of gray, and you can see anything more than 60 feet away. You can only affect and be affected by other creatures on the ethereal plane. Creatures that aren't there can't perceive or interact with you unless they have ability to do so.
So basically, you become a planeswalker for a couple for a round.
I wonder, could you shift into the ethereal plane with blink, walk up, because you can't interact and nothing can interact with you, check something out, and then blink, and then pop back to where you were?
Yeah, that's exactly what that can be used for.
For like a stealth, like a, okay, there are six guys over there, there's two traps, but I would have to roll, perception, right, while I'm in there?
Yep, you are still just you, so.
Okay. And, some modifications I'm doing to my second level spells. Hellish Rebuke, Branding Smite, and Magical Weapon.
What do?
Hellish Rebuke. I point my finger and the creature that damaged you is momentarily surrounded by hellish flames. The creature must make a dexterity saving throw. It takes 2d10. Wow. On a failed save and half as much damage on a successful one. And that's level one. So, it has to have taken damage from me. Branding Smite. The next time I hit a creature with a weapon attack before this spell ends, the weapon gleams with astral radiance as I strike. The attack deals 2d6 radiant damage to the next target, which becomes visible if invisible. And the target sheds dim light in a 5-foot radius and can't become invisible until the spell ends. And the last one is magic weapon. I touch a non-magical weapon until the spell ends. The weapon becomes a magic weapon with a +1 bonus to attack rolls and damage rolls.
Yeah. So basically, the sword that you're going to pick up from where the white stood and fell.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if I could pick up that sword, but I wasn't sure if it was a...
It's a non-magical weapon, so basically you're going to pick up a long sword, and that'll be your weapon.
And then at the beginning of battle, cast True Strike on it and magic weapon.
Basically, yeah. So yeah, that's basically, I'm going to give you a long sword. It's just going to be a mundane long sword because the magic that the Wraith was using came from within him and not the long sword itself. Mm-hmm. He just pulled basically a long sword out of a pocket dimension and attacked you with it.
What about the rod that I have? Can I use that to smack
Yeah, absolutely.
Or it's not going to be as effective as the...
Yeah, longsword is 1d8, I believe it is, damage. If I'm remembering correctly. Yeah, longsword, just OG longsword, is versatile. Slashing melee, 1d8 damage. If you're holding it as two hands, which is a bad idea for you, it's 1d10 damage. But yeah, 1d8 essentially, holding it with one hand. The rod that I gave you is essentially just a rod with extra stuff in it. So it is a... it's just a spellcasting implement. So no, it cannot attack. Hmm. I think it's like 1d4.
Sorry, Macho Man Savage. I'm going to have to sell you in the next town.
No, you just keep him. He's still...
just talk to it.
Yeah. But the interesting thing with that one is we completely ignored. At first level, you gain proficiency with medium armor, shields, and martial weapons. In addition, when attacking with a melee weapon that you are proficient with and lacks the two-handed property, which it's versatile, it's not two-handed. Basically, you can't be swinging around a greatsword. You can use your charisma modifier instead of your strength or dexterity for the attack and damage rolls.
Basically, you goad them into stabbing, into walking into your sword.
Yeah, basically. It's just, you just, yeah.
Hey, it'd be real nice if you could, you know, impale yourself on this.
Yeah, if you could just walk over here and, you know, put the pointy end into your chest, that'd be great.
Yes,
I mean, to be fair, tiefling, it's more like, you, stand here while I hit you.
She's not wrong.
Yeah, I know, it's pretty accurate.
That kind of works better for your Hexblade's Curse as well, because you're going to be rolling more with that. instead of a bunch of your spells, which may need, you know, just... like DC-based things, you're actually going to be attacking. So, and just you'll have to kind of bob and weave until you can get to the next town, unless you loot a leather armor off of a goblin, which I will allow.
Okay, so it's charisma, so I changed that. So instead of a +2, it's still going to be should be a +3, shouldn't it?
Yeah, it should. I mean, it's your spell cast. It's your...
Am I changing the wrong value? Oh, yeah, I'm changing the wrong value. My bad. Strength.
That. Oh, no. The warlock's gone off the deep end. He's speaking eldritch tongues.
No. that was me. I clicked it. I was like, what would happen if I did this?
Oh, no, the Rowan's sin spawn is getting worse. He's speaking eldritch tongues. Cry just reeks over and smacks you. Stop it!
And because I am nice, and I basically stated that, hey, because I like playing by the old school RPG rules of if you level, your hit points and magic points are restored. So, also, especially now that your fifth level levels are going to become fewer and farther between... 1 through 5 are designed to basically be your introduction to the game. And by the time you're 5th level, you are meant to be have a hold of the game, and you're going to be at 5th level for a bit. The next huge jump, I believe, is 9 to 10. Where's my mouse? There's my mouse.
And then when we get to level 20, we're basically gods.
I mean, essentially, yeah, you're fighting gods and you are gods.
Are you a god? Well, no. Then die!
Levels for those who are paying attention to these things. 4 to 5 is 2,700 to get to level 4 experience. 5 is 6,500. To get to level 6 is 14,000.
Holy god!
And then it's 23,000, 34,000, 48,000, 64,000, 85, 100, 120, 140, 165, 195. Yeah, it kind of goes up from there.
You're saying we can't just grind goblins forever.
No. multi-class prerequisites. I did not know that. I thought you could just take classes.
Just make a bunch of really like tough goblins. Have us fight goblin gods.
Even the goblin god would still wipe the floor with you.
Who's the goblin god? Goblinoid deities. That's a thing on Wikipedia.
Holy crap, that's funny.
Goblin deities. Barvavec! In many campaign settings for Dungeons & Dragons, Barvavec is the goblin deity of cooperation and territory. This will be fun. Kiorbeyag. Korgiorbag. Slavery, oppression, and morale. Magbuit. Is basically the goblin devil, which is fun. War and domination.
He's goblin Satan.
Basically. Muridar, which is your basically your PC goblins typically follow Muridar. He is your patience, mediation, tolerance, arts and crafts goblin.
He's a goblin of the arts.
The god of glitter glue.
No, that's Coralon.
The goblin god of glitter glue.
Go title.
So,
congratulations, Felix. You get to name this one.
Woo!
Just type it in the chat there so I can add it.
The god, yeah. What do you guys do that for me, please? Now I wonder if any of these guys have been statted out, or if I could just make a god for these guys.
So, I'm editing the longsword because the longsword uses strength and dex, so I have to swap out strength and dex for charisma.
Correct.
Which gives me, I can do 11. Well, at max damage, I can do more, but no, I think 11 is my max with a melee weapon as a warlock.
That's not bad. I mean, that is not bad at all. It'll be more once you start adding in smites and stuff like that. So, and
imagine that elemental, that's another d4.
Yeah. And also, when you start using your smites, are incredibly powerful. Like, I play with a paladin in my other game, and she goes batshit crazy with those smites. And she is a tank paladin, so she's like, all right, I'm going to only do 8 damage with this sword, and then I'm going to do 13 when I smite you.
Yeah, but unfortunately, I can only do it probably once or twice.
Yeah, I mean, that is the downside of being... Apparently, a downside of being a warlock is you only get to cast spells a couple times. I did not know that. Warlock got instantly worse, in my opinion.
But then I get Hunter's Mark with 2-strike.
Essentially, as a cantrip. So, I mean, not even Hunters get that. It's all... that's a first-level spell for Hunters.
But the thing is that would work. I have to cast that the 2-strike. I'm going to attack you, and then my next turn... I can attack with advantage.
And that definitely works if you are further away from a group. So, like, if you're going to have to take a turn to walk, it's great to be like, okay, oh, yeah, that guy there, that's the dude I'm going to attack.
You do have blink.
Yeah, and you do have blink, which is, you know, just manipulating planes. So,
oh my god, bugbears have deities too.
I mean, most things in D&D have deities. So
maybe that's what we were fighting, like bugbear god in disguise.
We were playing one of his acolytes. We were fighting against one of
them. One of his avatars, one of his many, many avatars.
Yeah, that's straight up. That'd be funny.
The avatar of the bugbear god.
Sounds so silly.
Bugbear gods. It's more goblinoid deities. Bugbear.
I think that was it.
Yeah, because they're goblinoid.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, we're going to next game. Really is getting the hell out of this area. And then moving on with the story.
So, because, we're not going to be able to take Pride with us into the Harper's Guild, are we?
That'll be a fun thing to do when you get there.
Oh, God.
Please don't. I'm sure he'll understand if we ask him to not walk into the headquarters of the people who want to kill him.
What? By the way, I'm not allowed in this building? Boom! I am Pride! Listen to me!
It's okay.
Okay, though he is Pride, the way he comes off is his pride is in how he carries and portrays himself.
You mean I'm not allowed in this building?
If you want to live to see your lady love back there, you know, the tree that won't leave Golden Fields, then yeah.
So yeah, that, basically, we got a couple episodes in Golden Fields. Actually, you guys, the fun thing is Liferous was an enemy in the original one. But I didn't like that. Basically, it is an animated tree. I didn't like that, so I'm like, I like the name Liferous. That's a fun name. I'm going to make it a lady, and I'm going to make it a good guy, and I'm going to make it an elf. So,
I'll make it pretty much indistinguishable from what it was before.
Yeah, basically.
I mean, you know, those trees, they all look the same.
Yeah, straight up. That's not racist at all.
That's not tree-ish.
Jesus, Joss. I'm not letting you in my house anymore with that attitude.
So I'm aborished from your household?
Oh.
Yeah, that one wasn't as good.
No, but the fact that you said it, that's the problem.
We're rooted here.
There you go. That's better.
CJ, I'm going to tell you this once and only once. Leave him alone.
Love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. So, yeah, that is...
We're dancing.
I'm abusing my DM powers. Dancing. Everybody's dancing.
Dancing around the square.
So yeah, this is what we do when we're not recording.
Yeah, basically.
What are you talking about? We do this when we're recording too.
That's true.
Essentially, I put you guys.
We're professionals.
Over there. so yeah, that's pretty much it. You guys triggered my trap card. That was going to happen regardless. Stottero is always a bad guy. Congratulations.
Hey.
And now we have a new party member, as opposed to if we just walked on past.
Yeah. I was halfway waiting for you. Well, technically, you'd have a party member still. You'd have Stottero technically with you if you had just walked on past the tree.
But yeah. Then you would have killed us later.
Only for him to be hit by you later.
Wait a second. If Sartre was with the Harpers, oh, shoot.
Son of a bitch, it's a conspiracy!
Think about it. Let's end this now before I go, like, crazy conspiracy theory.
I want to hear Alex Jones' level of conspiracy theories about my game, you guys.
I have one next week.
Bellfire can't melt steel beams, Pierce!
Oh my god.
All right, you guys, we'll see you next time. If remember, you can support this show and everything that we do on the Geek.io network over patreon.com/geek.io. For all of us here, this has been a real quick level up episode. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
This has been a Geek.io Media Network production. Copyright 2017.
And the theme song goes here.